Justin, we just got done recording our bonus episode.
It was a surprise bonus show. Going out.
It was. It wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
I was just in Philadelphia / New Jersey / Camden, straight out of Camden, with my band doing some recordings at the end of the year here. And one detail that I seem to have forgotten to tell you in our bonus show is we watched the film Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Oh,
three times.
Three. Okay. Why three?
Because it's the best film of all time. Because it's amazing. And also when we got back every single night, we would get back at like 9 o'clock, 10:30 or so, depending on what, you know, how long we were going that night. And we were all just like so tired. And the only movie any of us owned on YouTube, because there was like a TV with like a Roku thing on it, was Pop Star. And also it's hilarious. Have you seen it? You must have seen it, right?
I've seen clips of it, but I have not seen it all the way through.
Let me say this. I've seen it three times in the last week, four times in the last 2 months, because I watched it like 2 months ago. It's one of the best films ever made, and I think it's exactly made for you and your type of humor.
Oh,
because it's Andy Samberg.
And this is the thing. So The Lonely Island was made up of three people.
Guys. Yeah.
It was Andy Samberg, Akiva Schaffer, and Yorma. It starts with a T. I can't think of it off the top of my head. The other two were directors of this movie. Of yeah. Pop Star. So, like, if you want to hear my sense of humor, obviously it's something that would be with The Lonely Island. Not only Andy Samberg, but you have the other two as writers on top of it as well.
Well, and they're both in it, too. Or all three of them are in it.
Yeah, they're main characters, right? They are...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's about, like, a pop star who was in a group, and then they had a big falling out and all that sort of stuff. So it's the other guys are them. But... This is just a quick reminder for everyone. Watch Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping. It's so fucking funny. It also was an incredible, incredible box office bomb. It made like $6 million on a budget of like 20. It's insane.
By the way, like, I'm a little also disappointed that you only have that on your Prime videos.
YouTube video.
YouTube. Oh, so you couldn't even get
YouTube
a Prime.
Movies.
Okay. Actually, yeah. If that's the case, I don't think I even have anything on my YouTube movies.
I think I have.
Is it movies.youtube? Movies.youtube.
I don't know. Let's see. I didn't look, so I was like, I don't have anything. For sure, I don't have anything.
Purchase.
Account. Peter. And then, yeah, how do you find this?
So the
movies and TV.
Yeah.
Oh, I have one. What's yours?
It is the Pixar short Bao.
Oh, sure. What an absolutely sad but good little flick.
Yeah. Remember when she eats her son?
I do.
Yeah.
So the one film that I have, and perhaps we could have watched this, The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
The only The Return of the King, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what it was? It was available in streaming in Australia. And so I watched the first two in Australia. And then when I was... in New Zealand, ready to see all the other stuff, the streaming service I was using in Australia called Stan doesn't work in New Zealand, so I had to just buy this.
That is so funny. You had to buy that in New Zealand.
Yeah, that said, this is not the extended version, so like I'd never seen that before, and it's kind of wild how much stuff is cut from that I was like, oh, I thought that was all like really kind of important stuff.
Like part of it. Yeah. I can't even like, I mean, I don't even know if I ever watched the not extended versions.
I've seen the only one I think I haven't seen is Two Towers. Cause I just need all that extra footage of Merry and Pippin walking.
I actually must have, because we saw the CSO doing it at Ravinia when they like play live along with it.
You went to that? Did you like ascend?
I mean, it was pretty cool. Like the only thing that's like my hesitancy towards it was like when we usually get lawn seats and you have your whole like little setup there. You don't really notice that it's a live like orchestra.
I guess that's fair because they're just playing exactly
it
as it goes. Yeah,
but like if you're sitting there in the actual like, because they have like a domed like seated place that you can like buy tickets to that are really expensive. But like if you were to like sit there and watch it. Because we watched, I forget what we watched. We watched something that they were playing live in there. It feels much more like I'm at a concert rather than it just being like, I'm sitting at the lawn eating my cheeses and my little fruit plate that we brought with a little like tarp and a candelabra in the middle of our little setup. Have you been to Ravinia before? Have you been?
No, that's the in the city, right?
Well, it's not quite in the city. It's more in like the North Shore area, out by like the like Glenbrooks.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of a different thing. I'm thinking of the big amphitheater, like right next to the Bean.
We were at the amphitheater before, which is cool. But like the Ravinia, it's basically like they have like concerts every year, and we usually try to go to like once a year, because like if you're on the actual lawn, it's really cool because it's basically a big picnic that you're like going to, and you see people who are like trying to one up each other with their picnic setups. Like they have, you know, mm-hmm. like their own little like hot plate there and their little like thing trying to make their own little foods and everything like that. But we usually just bring like a cooler and a little table and have like a little picnic setup with our friends, family, whoever comes with us. It's a good time.
This actually looks delightful.
Is this
what it is? I just sent you the link. It's like Highland Park.
It's loading. It's loading. Yes, this is it.
I have never been to this, and I...
Oh my God, you would love it. And
very much would like to.
They do a bunch of those like movie play-alongs. Like we saw Jurassic Park. They played...
Oh my gosh, what?
Yeah, they played Jurassic Park with the soundtrack in the background, which is really cool. We were thinking of going to see Weird Al, but guess how much lawn tickets are?
I was
going to
say, he's in, how much are they?
$200 for lawn. Like,
dude, they got King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Hey, I mean, if you want to go see King Gizzard.
Are you familiar?
No.
They are a very good band. Do they shows? I mean, like, how much is a King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard ticket, you think? Highland Park tickets, let's see.
My wife just brought me crack.
Oh, is that what kind of bark is that?
It's crack.
Or is that peanut butter brittle? Peanut brittle?
No, it's just crack. It's a cracker and then a toffee layer and then chocolate on top of it. She brought me crack.
Fuck that right up.
Yeah.
I think tonight I'm going to buy some eggnog, and I think I might drink a whole half gallon of eggnog tonight.
Get the Oberweis stuff, man. Do yourself a favor. It's worth the $11. But you get money back.
It's really only... I was going to say, it's like 10 because you return the thing.
You get some money back.
If you're not a hooligan. Can you tell, by the way, that there's like not a lot of game stuff to talk about this week? It's Inbox! Everyone, welcome back to Hitbox episode number 225. It's Hitbox Day if you're listening to this, and I imagine you're not because you're probably busy with festivities.
Well, no,
Merry Christmas, y'all.
You don't know that. Like, some people could, like, not have anything, you know?
It's true. That's true. Actually, you know what? Give me a second. I'm going to edit this a little bit out. Give me a second.
I don't know if he's editing out what he just said.
Okay, I'm not editing that out. I hit my projector.
Or if he's going to edit out this blank silence here that you're hearing. But in the meantime, everyone, I have a hat. I don't know if you can see this. I have a hat. It's a reindeer hat. And there's a little game with it. There's these little rings that you try to throw on there. So I'm going to try to throw the ring while looking in my camera to see if I can hit it. And my sounds of excitement will let you know if, in fact, I got this game. Again, reindeer hat, you're trying to throw... This, it's like horseshoes, but with a little wreath that you're throwing. So I'm going to see if I can hit it on my hat. All right, so here's attempt number one. I'm flipping it up. I missed.
Uh-oh.
Third time's a charm. I missed again.
I'm thinking it's getting edited out. I'm thinking that what people just heard is a shh, and then now I'm here. They might have gotten a little bit of that.
They might have.
For context. Anyway, around Christmas time, I think about this... inscription on one of my favorite albums of all time. It's called The Mountain Goats. Their album called The Sunset Tree.
You said the inscription. Are you familiar? You said inscription.
It's a little inside the
oh okay
booklet
okay.
thing.
I got you.
Let's see, where is it? Yes, okay. Dedicated to any young men and women anywhere who live with the people who abuse them, with the following good news. You're going to make it out of there alive. You will live to tell your story. Never lose hope. There's one more. Maybe I'm incorrect. Made possible by my stepfather, Mike Nonan, 1940 to 2004. May the peace which eluded you in life be yours now. And I always think about that around the holidays for people who maybe do not have families to celebrate with. Just that idea of like, you are going to live to tell your story and be happy and merry. You know what I mean?
I think that's a really positive way to look at it.
Yeah.
I also think like at the same time, like, I think it's a good time to like remember like family doesn't always like come into things that are like biological. There's so many other ways to like talk about family. Obviously, but having like close relationships with biological family, I think is something that's good, assuming that they are good people. But like, hey, remember that all these people that you're seeing this time of year, they're your family.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be the people by which you are blood relatives. How's your Christmas today, Justin?
My Christmas today is good. Currently, I'm probably, well, no, it's noon. I'm getting ready to go to my family's, like my kind of like step family's side of the Christmas. And we've just had a delightful breakfast with my father-in-law and my sister-in-law and her fiance. And then, of course, my wife is there. And then Archie will be there, too. He'll probably be in a little sweater. Maybe some footy pajamas, too.
Delightful.
Yeah. And
delightful, Justin.
My wife made some hash brown casserole with the recipe from Cracker Barrel, which, let me be honest, that's one of the best parts of that Cracker Barrel.
That sounds pretty fucking good.
I don't know. That's my Christmas morning.
Well, I hope everyone else's Christmas morning is as good as yours. Justin, before we get into
what did you do on Christmas morning?
A little different this year. My fiance, Elena.
Ooh, how's that feel? How's that feel?
Cool. Good. It's settling in there.
All right.
She is working today.
Ooh.
So her shift starts at 6 and goes until 2, which is a very annoying time to work on Christmas Day. So I am waking up early with her and going to work. And I'm going to sit in her little cafe until about 9 o'clock, bring some cookies and other things for the other people who are working there so that we don't have to all be apart. And then at about 9 o'clock, I'll be heading towards my family, hanging out with them until we're done. So at 12, I'll be... It's probably an egg dish involved, a little bit of cheese board, some dried meats. It's going to be pretty good. I'll be a little tired because I'll be up early. But
Do you have a Santa outfit?
Do I have a Santa? Do you think I have a Santa outfit? I don't.
Oh. I mean...
I don't, sorry.
Also, the way you said that, I would assume like it's like, do you think I don't have a Santa?
I realize that was misleading.
Because
you should
sit in there and give also people little Santa wishes if they come in.
Can I be honest with you? I'm more of an elf guy. Not Elf the movie, but I think when it comes to like, what Christmas character do you think you play? I think I'm the elf who does dentistry. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's like a variation, like not the Keebler elves that live in trees and make cookies.
Hermie? Hermie with the, yeah, Hermie.
All right, let's see what this is. Google search. I can kind of see that. I mean, your hair was significantly blonder at one point.
It was. I had this whole fucking look.
Yeah.
Dude.
I do have to say your arms are not that long.
No.
Or torso that short. Hard to tell.
I'm a short kind of guy.
Yeah.
Can I say, Rudolph, good Christmas flick.
I don't really like these movies. They scare me.
What is Paul? Interesting. You don't like these kinds of movies?
Yeah, they scare me.
Oh.
This is a little unsettling. Like the little stop motion-y things going on. Right? They're stop motion.
They are stop motion, yes.
And they're all just a little like fake and not real. I can imagine like how they would feel, and I don't think I like that texture.
Yeah, I bet they're really soft if you were to like bite them.
Oh yeah, and like they like you could just
like Laffy Taffy.
You could just get through them with your teeth, but it would take a little
exactly.
effort.
Yeah,
you got a soft
gummy. Should I order this? Is a Hermy toy, a figure. He's 2 inches tall, $14, 5% off right now on eBay.
It doesn't
look good.
Seven
people
enough.
Have viewed this in the last 24 hours.
I'm going to be honest, it doesn't look good enough.
No, it looks terrible.
Yeah, I'm sure you could find another Hermy. Hermy
fully Amazon. Loaded, dude.
Hey, writing movies for money and profit tells you why that movie was bad.
Hermy fully loaded?
Yeah.
Was that movie bad? I saw it when I was a child and then never again.
Yeah, it was supposed to be good. It wasn't supposed to be good, but they had an idea of how it was good, and then how basically studios
destroyed it. Oh, with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Hermy Squishmallow. That's kind of cute.
I think it's way cute. It's way cuter than anything you were looking at. They also have an outside one that you could that lights up a little bit.
Sure.
It's not quite as cute, but like if I'm gonna get myself a Hermy, it's gonna be a little cute Hermy. Hermy the dentist doll.
Herbie fully loaded cast, very stacked. Lindsay Lohan, Michael Keaton, Matt Dillon, Justin Long, Thomas Lennon, Cheryl Hines.
Oh my God, Thomas Lennon. Oh yeah, Thomas Lennon. He was one of the original writers. He also wrote the book.
That also ends the part of the stacked cast.
Well, I mean,
Jeff Gordon, some like
Jeff Gordon, the racer. Drivers. Yeah, I mean, yes. Come on now. Yeah. That was when he was still probably top of his game.
I was gonna say, was he alive still? He should be. He's not that old, right? Yeah, he's 53.
Well, I mean, you never know these race car drivers.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's incredibly true. Justin, here's a quick look at what's coming up today. We're going to talk about a few things. PlayStation buys more from Software's parent company. EA says no to Dead Space 4, and we're going to take a look at what's coming in 2025. Before we get to all of that and more, I would love to tell our listeners about our Discord server, which they can find in the description of this episode. They can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/hitboxpod. By becoming a $1 podcast producer or a $3 deluxe podcast producer like Jay Noel, GKS, or Josh Durham. And if you can't do that, that's fine. You can follow us on Twitter at HitboxPod or rate this episode in your podcast player of choice. Justin, you filled on my side of the sheet about what we've been playing. You play no games. You hate games. No Metacritic Roundup today because it's the end of the year. Games aren't coming out right now. I played some Balatro on the plane, and then other than that, I've not really done much.
It's always sad when that's your life. You don't have time to play games.
I was doing other stuff. I had fun.
Yeah. I mean, Alien Rogue Incursion came out. We want to talk about that.
Oh, how did it score?
Hold on.
Metacritic Round.
Got to be with tradition. You can't break with tradition.
Yeah,
so
we need
how
it.
How did it
we
score?
It. Well, the critics gave it a. I'm on Open Critic. I'm on Metacritic. So we got. Do you have that chant? Metacritic.
I do not. Just as Open Critic Random.
The reason I wanted to bring up the Open Critic is because the user rating for it is a blistering 69%.
Nice.
The actual Metacritic score is a 75 with a universal acclaim score of 9.0 from the 19 users who reviewed it. So sounds like this is a great game. To be honest, I have no fucking clue what this game's about.
I know Alien, but that's
it looks like a little shooter.
Let's see here.
Yeah, it's a little shooter game.
It's a VR game, I think, maybe.
Oh, out of all the games,
yeah, it is. It's a MetaQuest.
Okay.
So it is a shooter. There you go, I guess, huh?
That seems exciting to me.
Yeah.
While we're here, I'm just checking my Fantasy Critic. I'm still expecting one game, and I'm at a 79.65. So could have been
dude, huge dude.
Could have
been
worse.
Let me take a look at it.
I also have $47 left in the coffers here.
I'm broke. That's for sure. How did I score here at the end? How did we end up? 118 points. First time breaking 100. Very. I can't be upset about that. I think that's just fine.
No. Oh, actually, it says 80. I don't know where this 79 came from. I got a solid 80, so I'm proud of myself here.
I am proud of you. Justin, you play more of Indiana Jones and the Great Circle?
I did. I played, I don't know, there's something about the game. Like, again, I said last week, the open world stuff of it is the worst part of it, but, like, the tomb raiding parts of it are the best parts. When you're in, like, a individual, like, little cave or, like, a little dungeon or something like that, that's when it gets kind of fun to go through it, because I don't feel like I have that many options of things to do. I think they do a good job of, like, kind of showing you, like, oh, there's a room over here that's locked, but how do we get into this room? And then as you're kind of exploring around, I'm specifically thinking about, like, the caverns under the Vatican. There's, like, this whole little, like, puzzle thing that you have to do when you're kind of, like, trying to find this crypt, and then the fascists above accidentally dig through to the area you're at, and you have to kind of escape this catacomb area when the fascists are trying to pursue you and attack you. And I think the combat is still a little clunky. The stealth itself is not, like, terrible stealth, though, as far as games go, I think. Because it is pretty good at, like, even if you get spotted, you either can, like, escape, hide, or you just die quick enough that it's not a big deal, that you just kind of start again. So
yeah.
And I think the thing that I think is high quality about it is the fact that it feels a lot like an Indiana Jones movie. And I think I really do appreciate that. But again, it's like two more button prompts than I need to in this game. I wish it was more clear about what you could hold, like, you could hold stuff at the same time. I think one of the things you talked about is how, like, you know, you get on your whip and you drop a, you drop what you're holding and you can't get back to that or whatever, or you climb through a little hole and you lose your weapon and you can't get that weapon back. There's just, like, a few things about it that are a little over cumbersome that I think could have been streamlined to be a little bit more fun to play as a game, because I do think the puzzle solving and the general puzzles are fun enough for me. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm enjoying this game way more than a lot of the other games that played this year. I'm liking it way more than Dragon Age Inquisition, that's for sure. And I think in retrospect, Dragon Age Inquisition isn't a bad game, but, like, if you're wondering where it stacks up in terms of, like, how I'm liking things, I think it's definitely something I'm enjoying a little bit more than that. So
sure.
Have you played any more of it or no?
I haven't had time.
Yeah.
I just haven't been home. It is something I want to do, though, because I did like it. You know what I mean? The 2 hours of it I played, I just have to get back, like, actually get back to it.
Yeah.
Because it is, yeah, it's a good game. And yeah, I'm excited to get back to it. Same, you know, what you said, like, it is a little clunky here and there, but, like, hey, lots of games are a little clunky. Here's what I'll say about this. I think Indiana Jones is clunky in a really obvious way, whereas a lot of other games are clunky in ways that are a little bit less in your face. Does that kind of make sense?
Is that a yes and no? Is that, like, a pro or con about it?
I don't think it matters. I just think, like, when you have people saying, like, oh, this is a terrible game, it's because it's really easy to articulate what about it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As opposed to, like, other games that, like, are a little bit more subtle about how in the ways in which they are a little broken.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so there you go. You played Marvel Rivals, it says, ? On there?
Yeah, I started playing it, like, very briefly, but, like, just kind of got my feet wet in some of the characters and the gameplay and the tutorials and stuff like that. And it is, like, like, I knew this was the case, but it's a little ridiculous how similar it is to Overwatch.
They are very similar, right?
And, like, to the point where, like, the tutorial, like, instead of playing Soldier 76, right? That's his name? Fallout 76?
In Overwatch, yes. Yeah. Yes. For Soldier 76, yes.
Yeah. Instead of playing him, you play the Punisher, who is kind of like the Soldier 76 character in a way, right? Like, I think that's kind of silly. But I do feel like the way the characters kind of play in their own classes is pretty unique to each individual character. It feels like there is just a little bit more unique stuff. And in the whole, like, team up aspect of it really kind of changes characters and how you think about your team composition and your team chemistry too, because some of those powers you get, again, while not, like, game altering, significantly change your play style for those different characters. And I think each character, like, they do a good job about, like, I don't know, having characters with similar abilities that make sense for their characters. Like, the leap jump ability of, like, the Hulk and Black Panther kind of makes sense with their characters, and not every character has that big leap ability. But I don't know. I think there's enough cool, like, little, like, subtle stuff with your characters that I've still to that point where I'm having fun trying a bunch of new characters, trying to find the ones that I actually like that, you know, fuck the meta because I'm not playing for ranked or anything like that. I'm really enjoying discovering which characters I like.
Yeah. You know, it is interesting, though. You mentioned, you know, Soldier 76 and Overwatch and whatever else. And like, I think, and I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm saying that this is how a lot of people are talking about it. Like, I think a lot of people are saying, like, oh, this is just an Overwatch clone. It's just an Overwatch clone. I'm like, yeah. If you remove all other context, I guess. You know what I mean? Again, that's not what I'm saying you're doing. But, like to say, like, the Punisher is just Soldier 76, like, yeah, he is. But like Soldier 70, like guys, is Soldier 76 a really like completely unique design?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like same thing with like I do not think it is a crazy leap. I think we talked about this last week. Mike Ybarra, the former president of Blizzard, was saying like, wow, Black Widow is just Widowmaker. And it's like, it's not a crazy leap that Black Widow, a character who's a sniper assassin, would be a sniper assassin in Marvel Rivals. And that, you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, right.
And so like, while yes, like, there is a lot that it does borrow from Overwatch, especially like the game modes. That said, like, those are pretty typical game. I don't know. Do you know what I'm getting at here?
Yeah.
Like, yes, it is very similar, but also like, I think that if that's all anyone has to say about it, like, I think it's completely removed from the context of like, well, what would make sense for making a game about these characters?
Do you know what I actually really like that they do? Like, 'cause I feel like obviously like for me, it's more of like, it's not like a copy and paste the same game. It's just like the, what is it? The method for how they like do things is pretty similar. Like the tutorial kind of feels the same. The 100%. Whatever kind of feels, I mean,
the training
same.
Room is like the exact same thing.
Right. But I do love how they have individual character tutorials, not for every character. I think they have like two to three for each of the classes that you can go through that like go through their individual unique abilities and like allow you to play around with those unique abilities. And then at the end of it, they have this little game where if you are like a combat focused character, you have to like kill as many of these robots as you can in a time period. And they track your high score for that, which is just a cool way to like hone your ability with that character. And just like, there's something to do in those training things other than just like get from point A to point B. And for like healer characters, they make you keep keep a couple of robots health up while you're also trying to like attack the other things too. So they just do some unique things that I think make it a little bit user friendly in that way. And have they talked about potentially having a PvE type of mode for this game?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. Let me look.
Because I feel like that could be another fun thing. Like, it doesn't have to be this huge mode, but like, let's take a game like fucking Suicide Squad. While that game is like not the greatest thing in the world, but like a setup like that in these worlds where you have to like attack these things and like, you know, go to different like points to like capture the points against like robots and bots and stuff like that, not like bots of other characters, but like just simple robots and stuff like that, I think could be a fun little mix up to the gameplay mode that wouldn't be incredibly difficult to make. But what do I know about game design?
According to one Sam Woods at The Gamer, no fucking clue who that is. Marvel Rivals story mode is not included in dev's plans or roadmap.
Okay.
And so yeah, they say they're working on, you know, they tell their story through multiplayer stuff and that they're not interested. At least it's not part of what they're working on would be a story mode, which I imagine would be a PvE thing.
Well,
I bet there might be like events.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know like Overwatch did like events with PvE, but I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm not asking for story because I'm not going to play this game.
No, I don't care.
Even though I do feel like these characters control better than like Marvel's Avengers did when that game happened. It feels like that game influenced a lot of what happened with this one. It's more simple, more fun. The characters themselves are like not overly complicated. What were we going to say?
So a few things. Thing one, I think that like the art style of this game is like a clear example of like why choosing an interesting art style is way fucking better than going for realism. If you are not Rockstar, Naughty Dog, or I don't know who's the last studio that makes really good looking games. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You understand what I'm saying, right? Like if you can't make like these like Team Ninja or Ninja Theory, whoever the fuck makes Cinema Saga. Because this art style is great and it's going to hold up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you look at like Borderlands 1, that game looks great still. Cause it's like, like it shows like a really solid art style.
Even like BioShock, like the art style of BioShock, it's like it's kind of cartoony in a way, but like it still holds up today. I think visually, and that game was beautiful back in the day, of course, but like its cartoony-ish art style makes it universal. A BioShock Infinite is another one of those games that still looks great today because of its art style.
100%. It's just one of those things where like this game is going to look really great, and Marvel's Avengers didn't even look good when it came out. Do you know what I mean? Like it looked like shit. And so my question is this to you. You've played both of these games, Marvel's Avengers and Marvel Rivals. They are very different games, obviously, in what they're trying to do and all that sort of stuff. And I have two questions. The first question is, which is the better game? And the second is, which is the better Marvel game?
I think both would probably be Marvel Rivals.
You think so?
I think the strength, and if I don't know if the servers are off for that game or not, but playing the single player in Marvel's Avengers, I think is worth it. It really is like an interesting Marvel story. And I think what they do with some of the character moments are really cool. One that I always go back to is like when you're introduced to Iron Man in the main story. It's basically like you're slowly suiting up your character, and they kind of like slowly like add parts to his costume until you get your full like put together costume that you're actually like doing Iron Man things like. And they just do some really cool things with that story. At the very beginning of it, one of the whole things is that, you know, a major Avenger dies, and then it's like kind of finding out about that story about like what happened with that character throughout the whole thing. I just think they do a pretty good job with it, and they do a good job making you feel like it is a comic book story with like the interactions of the characters. The moment-to-moment gameplay in a lot of those things is kind of stupid though, because it's like this mix of like open world, it's like Destiny kind of missions, like it's the missions take place in the open world a lot of the times.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that from the demo, being like, oh
yeah. And that's and that's kind of like what the actual single player stuff is, but I think the story itself kind of got me from moment to moment. But this one, I think in terms of like a better Marvel game, like there's so many like more Marvel fan servicey things in Marvel Rivals, so many more cutesy things in Marvel Rivals that I think people would appreciate more than they would in Marvel's Avengers overall. And it just feels like a lot of it is like playing off nostalgia because they want to have you buy character skins and stuff like that. Predatory or not, I just think it's like the whole point of that game is to like be a love letter to Marvel, where I don't think Marvel's Avengers was meant to be this like love letter toward Marvel. It was like, we're gonna make a serious game that's gonna make a bunch of money.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? And like, I mean, hey, that might have been also true with Marvel Rivals, right?
Yeah, but like, obviously. Yeah.
But it's a thing too, right? About like, you know, games are an art form, an expression, whatever, but also they are a business and an industry and whatever. But I think, at least from my perspective, Marvel Rivals feels like less cynical than Marvel's Avengers, which just felt like, well, we're making an Avengers game. And it's like, oh gosh, like, you know.
Well, and one is like on the front, there's just a free-to-play multiplayer game where you can buy costumes. Yeah. The other one is like, it's a $60 adventure with a single-player story that you're going to be playing forever and ever and ever. But really, we're not going to have enough content to make you play it forever and ever and ever. But like, we're going to say you do, and we're going to charge a bunch of money for these skins.
Which they did, by the way. I looked it up. They did stop supporting the game in 2023.
So you can't even play the single-player anymore?
So you can't buy it on digital storefronts. That's
okay.
Sure. I have no idea if the single player works anymore.
I would assume it probably would be hard, which is, again, unfortunate, but YOLO.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also like, hey, that's just the nature of making the games like this.
Yep.
I heard someone talk about X Defiant. We were talking about that, I think, last week or the week before, about how that's a game that has ceased its operations or is going to be ceasing it. And so they just made everything free. And but everyone's like, it feels like a graveyard because it's just like this like haunting, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like all free and weird. And like, you can see the bones of like the content they were working on that they just put in the game now because they're like, well, no point in working on this anymore. You know,
I just like the idea that it introduced a bug. It could introduce a bug that would like break the game, but they didn't fix it because like, we're not fucking supporting this anymore. So we're going to fix this. But enjoy your skins, bitches.
The bug is called playing X Defiant.
Yeah, the game itself, you know, go with the source code. Hey, we suck.
It's not a very good game. Let's talk about the news. so much news this week. There's so much news. It's just like so news heavy. There are two things that are kind of interesting. The first I want to talk about is Dead Space. You know Dead Space.
I love Dead Space. Space is dead. There's nothing alive in space. No one can hear you scream.
So on Dan Allen's gaming podcast, his most recent one that I think went up, not most recent, sorry, it's from 3 weeks ago. Dan Allen talked to Glenn Schofield and a handful of other people who were involved with the creation of Dead Space. And Glenn Schofield mentioned that earlier this year he pitched Dead Space 4 to EA and they told him no. Now, I think this is interesting. I'm not trying to defend EA at all because it's a company, whatever. But I am going to say that I've seen a lot of people saying like, what? They're so stupid. How could they not do this? They just had a very successful Dead Space 1 remake. And I think that because of their remake, it makes sense that they would say no. Do you know what I mean?
Is it the remake didn't do well? I thought it did okay.
It did do well.
Yeah.
But like, because it did well, it means that they are either going to make a Dead Space 2 remake or make a sequel to Dead Space separate from the original trilogy of games. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
And so it would be weird for them to be like Dead Space 1 and now here's Dead Space 4, but don't play those old games because they're shitty. You know what I mean? Like, as much as I appreciate Glenn Schofield's vision for the original Dead Space, the things that he has worked on in the past since Dead Space have not exactly been these like huge hits. He was not involved with Dead Space 2 and 3, I believe. He went on to work, I think, at like Activision. And then he left there, and then he made Callisto Protocol, which was like a giant mess. It was kind of like very public how much of a mess it was in its development and stuff like that. It lost Sony like millions and millions of dollars. It was like overall kind of a really messy thing. So like, I can completely understand why you have this guy saying, I want to do Dead Space 4. And the company says like, honestly, no, at least not in the way that it would be maybe with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think I didn't hear like the actual like podcast version of it too, but like just because a company says no to Dead Space 4 doesn't mean they like said no to like everything about that too. It can mean a lot of different things. As you said, like maybe they're not looking for a Dead Space 4. Maybe even Glenn was like Dead Space 4 is just a reboot of Dead Space that is separate. That's the fourth thing that we're doing. So I think there is a lot of context that is involved with that. But ultimately, I do think it's kind of sad because even though Dead Space 3 was not what everyone wanted, I'm sure the idea about having more Dead Space out there is something that would be exciting to a lot of people, whether it's for
100%
redo Dead Space 2 or whatever. But do you think it is more likely for there to be a Dead Space 4 or a Dead Space 2 remake? And I know you don't think we don't need Dead Space 2 remake, but what's more likely?
I think it's much more likely that we get a Dead Space 2 remake. Much easier to make a remake of something that's already people think is very, very good, right? I mean, like,
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. And then also, like, that would make sense given the fact that, like, when you look at something like Resident Evil and its success it's had with doing remakes, like they did, you know, Resident Evil 2 remake, then 3, then 4, those have all been very, very successful. Like, no reason why a company like EA wouldn't look at that and be like, that's the model. Why make something new when we can just remake this other thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've talked about this. I don't think it needs a remake. I think it looks great. I think it plays great. And I don't even think that the original Dead Space necessarily needed a remake, but I understand why they would do that. But also, it's not happening anytime soon. EA Motive is working on their Iron Man game. So from there, we'll see what happens. But
I'm sure that game will go great.
I don't know, man.
Universal love.
If I may be honest, I have, like, it's not that I'm superheroed out, because obviously I'm playing a bunch of Marvel Rivals still, but, like, part of me is, like, I would much rather see something a little bit new and interesting from them, like, do more Dead Space, and, like, I guess it's like, okay, either that or like either make a new game, a new Iron Man game, or make a Dead Space remake of Dead Space 2. I'm like, rock and a hard place, I guess, in terms of like I'd rather you just do something new, but like, I would rather see a Dead Space 2 remake than an Iron Man game, just because like, there are a lot of superhero games out there right now. You know what I mean? I know that like, that's the big thing, but like, Dead Space at the very least is extraordinarily unique as sort of a concept, and especially like in this certain time. You know what I'm getting at here?
Well, yeah, on top of that too, like even use Marvel and DC, like these properties, like post Endgame have just not been, I mean,
successful at all.
Some have been popular, like the Batman or whatever the one that HBO movie was, oh, sure, with whatever. They've been good, but they have not been this like big commercial renaissance that are mainstream among mainstream. Like, think of, yeah, all these different 100%. Things that, like, the thing that made Endgame so big was that that was a mainstream moment in the world. Whether you
absolutely
really were into the Marvel universe or whether you just liked movies or liked what was the big talk of the town, that was huge. Mm-hmm. They don't have that kind of appeal anymore, which is, you know, there are a million reasons for it, whether people are just tired from it or COVID killed movies or however you want to say it.
Yeah.
But I just don't think, even from a gamer's perspective, we need more of that stuff. There is so much other stuff that we want to see. So, yeah.
And it's so funny, too. Like we're coming hot off the heels of being like, and Marvel Rivals is great. But it's like, I think that occupies a different space, right?
Oh, 100%. That, to me, yeah, it's a hero movie. But really, it's this, like, squad shooter kind of game that I think has this, like, I think the superhero stuff maybe helps it a little bit become a little bit more mainstream with the gamers. But even then, it's a free-to-play game that is out in a time like December where not a lot of new things come out that people care about. And I think it's the perfect storm for this game to be successful for a long time.
Yeah. And like, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, I kind of don't really even care that it's Marvel. You know what I mean? It helps, right, that like, I don't have to like learn who all these new characters are, but like, it, like, I'm playing as Luna Snow, a character I've never fucking heard of in my entire life. You know what I mean? Like
I'm kind of a fan of that character.
Yeah, she's great.
That's
she's
the
great.
Lucio one, right?
Yeah. Ish. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, that's not, I don't like playing as her because it's a Marvel game. You know, like, do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah,
like,
no, 100%. I feel it. That's not what brought me to it. What brought me to it was people talking about it being a fun game.
The next thing here is Sony has purchased 10% of Kadokawa, the parent company that owns From Software. We've talked about this recently, apparently Sony, the rumor was that Sony was looking to purchase Kadokawa entirely, which would then mean that it has that PlayStation would then have acquired From Software as well. Kadokawa does a lot of other stuff. I think, don't they own like Viz Media or something like that? They have like an anime manga division.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge Japanese company that far extends past just From Software. But, you know, obviously Sony acquiring that would mean that Sony also owns From Software, which is the part that we're sort of looking at here. But so no, they have not purchased Kadokawa yet, but they do now own, I believe, a 10% stake in the in its shares, which then that includes just from this press release, holding approximately 10% of its shares, including the shares Sony previously acquired in February 2021. So now they own 10% of it,
so
which could be, I don't know. Yeah, what's that?
So that deal too, that transaction amount, I'm just did it. And this is not necessarily for 10% of the company because they spent the $50 billion on top of what they already owned, right? So I don't know how much the new investment is. That's $34 million, which is a lot of money, folks. But it's not like we're talking about like this massive $1.5 billion acquisition of Bungie or $69 billion acquisition of Bethesda,
right? That's the thing, right? Like, they this would be much bigger news, I think, if it were the bigger money, you know. And of course, like, that might come, but who knows? I think that it, like, I think it could come, and that this could just be a step in that direction, or, you know, Maybe it's not.
So the chief executive officer of the Kadokawa Corporation said, "We are very pleased to conclude this capital and business alliance agreement with Sony. This alliance is expected to not only further strengthen our IP creation capabilities, but also increase our IP media mix options with Sony's support for global expansion, allowing us to deliver our IP to more users around the world. We are confident that this will greatly contribute to maximizing the value of our IP and increasing our corporate value in mid to long term. We intend to do our utmost to ensure that our collaborative efforts with Sony produce great results in the global market." And what that sounds to me is like, it's not just about like using Sony to help with video games. It's about expanding its ability in media in general. Increase our IP media mix options is the direct quote that kind of stands out to me about that. Meaning that Sony is not just a video game company. In fact, that's a small part of what they are as a whole. They're a tech company, they're a movie company, and they're a gaming company.
Yes.
Electronics? Do they do music still? Sony Music?
Sony? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So like obviously like there's a lot that goes along with that, and with how big the Kadokawa Corporation is, I think that made sense. Now, granted, I think there might the fact that they are part of From Software, I think, is a slight wrinkle in this, but that does not mean that the next Elden Ring is only going to be on PlayStation.
Yes, agree. And that's the other thing too, is like, even if they did buy this, like, no way in fucking hell that they would let that game be exclusive, right?
I think if they own the whole company, it would be, because that's how Sony deals with it.
But that's not how they deal with like Destiny, right? That's not what Marathon would be.
Yeah, I think it would be different though, because part of the thing with Bungie too was that when they acquired Bungie, part of the idea behind that was that, you know, we want to make sure that we keep this thing on every console and we're not just going to stop it. But I think with a company like this, if they purchase the parent company, I think that's a different situation than with Bungie personally. Like, it's like, we're gonna own everything of this, and obviously those are the thing that's the best for their dollar amount. But I always go back to the fact that Sony is primarily, they're popular and famous for their individual IPs and their exclusivity of those things. So I think they would leverage that over Microsoft, and I think even Microsoft understands that exclusivity is important to get people on your platform one way or another. And even if Indiana Jones is eventually going to come out for PlayStation, that initial window of exclusivity is important enough that that's a Xbox game, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the age of like having these major, major exclusives is kind of over.
I don't know.
Like, Elden Ring does not sell as well as it does if it's only on PlayStation.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
It depends. The other wrinkle in that is when it comes out in the console cycle. Like, if it came out like right with the PS6, yeah, that would hurt its sales overall, I think.
Yeah.
But I think the purchasing of Bethesda, the goal with Bethesda at that time of that purchase, it was, we are going to use your knowledge with multiplayer games to help expand our multiplayer
Bungie?
Game. Bethesda?
Bethesda.
Sorry,
yeah.
I meant Bungie. When they purchased Bungie, their idea was to expand their knowledge of multiplayer games. We want to be able to have more multiplayer games. Our path forward is going to be multiplayer games. Bungie, you're going to be the people to help us have better multiplayer games. Well, turns out that was not the case, as they shuttered a bunch of that studio. They've got rid of a lot of jobs. They've kind of changed their future of multiplayer games after Concord to a point where I don't even think a lot of those games are ever going to come out that they're talking about.
I agree.
And I think with that being said, who's to say what Destiny 3 is going to be? Is that going to be something that is going to be on Xbox? I don't know. Because I think right now we are back to the place where Sony's going to double down on what they have success in, and that's their individual IP. That's been the case from PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. I think is a little bit more blurred, but even then, their multi-platform stuff has to do more with getting it on PC now, and I think they see PC as a viable option. So yeah, getting a Sony thing with Bungie on or Destiny 3 on PC and PlayStation, that could be enough for them to like kind of cut out Xbox. But I don't know. I think Sony has a different plan than Microsoft does. Microsoft wants it to be as easy to play these games wherever you can. Sony still wants to be able to sell their experience
PlayStations.
PlayStations.
That's fair. That is true. Yeah, I'm it'll be interesting to see, and it'll be interesting to see if they do acquire the rest of Kadokawa. You know what I mean? Because I think that's like the big question mark, right? You know, they just spent all this money. I imagine it wouldn't be for a while yet. Because if they could, you know what I mean? Like I imagine that if they were to do that, it would be different. But
this is like one of those camel's nose situation. What happens when you have a camel's nose under your tent? You let the camel.
I guess I don't know.
Eventually, the whole camel's in your tent.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, because first it's like a little nose in there, and then you'll put its head up, and then it'll take the whole thing with it, and all of a sudden the whole thing is there with the camel.
That's funny.
In it. So the 10%, that's the camel's nose, Sony. It's into the tent of Kadokawa. Before you know it, whoop, Sony, you are now one with Kadokawa.
It's true. It's certainly true. Justin, 2025.
It's a good year.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so.
Can't be worse. Can't be worse than this year. Man, this has been a rough year.
It could. I don't want to. I'm not trying to think in that. You know, in a defeatist way. But it certainly could. I'll say this. Looking forwards, I'm trying not to think about the future. Do you know what I mean?
I'm living in the moment. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's so true. I'm not from Schaumburg. I'm from right now. I'm also just not from Schaumburg. But
well, you live there, so you are from there.
I do.
Where do you hail from?
I hail from Downers Grove, Peter of Grove.
But you're in Schaumburg now.
Yeah, I'm no Schaumburgian.
I'm confused because like there's a point in my house where one of my foot, if I step in one of my yards, part of my yard, I'm in Bolingbrook, and in the other part of my yard, I'm in Woodridge, and I go to Downers Grove South as my job. So where am I? You know what I mean?
I'm going to say you're from Jersey, but that doesn't make sense.
Hey, if you want that joke to make sense, subscribe to our Patreon. Become Patreon, a deluxe Patreon producer. You get a bonus episode each and every week, including finding out the context to that joke that we just
there made. You go. Justin, but 2025 in video games is looking kind of interesting. You know, there's not a whole lot of dates for a lot of these games that we know have been announced. Part of that, I think there's two reasons for that. The first thing is there's this report from IGN from the beginning of the month from Ryan Dinsdale. I'm just going to read you this, the headline. I think it sort of speaks for itself. Publishers reportedly refuse to commit to 2025 until GTA 6 release date gets revealed. I think that makes a lot of sense. The report comes from Bloomberg, by the way. Not Ryan Dinsdale. He's just reporting on the Bloomberg piece. But I think it makes sense. GTA 6 is going to be a huge game that is supposedly coming in 2025. Publishers do not want to get in the way of that. That is going to be, I mean, one of the big, I think that GTA 6 will be the biggest game of the decade. It'll be the biggest game until the next Grand Theft Auto game comes out. You know what I mean?
Or the next big Rockstar property.
Right. So it would make sense then that publishers might be uninterested in committing, because who knows? Like, they don't want to get like swept up in the underneath GTA 6. You know what I mean? So it makes sense that a lot of these games don't have dates. The other thing is, I think that like studios are just uninterested in like committing to dates unless they feel like they can actually hit those dates. I mean, like, remember when I think like Starfield was like the final game that did this, where they like said, here's Starfield, it's coming in like September, and it was like, guys, it's not coming in September. We all know that it's not coming in September. And then we get to September and they're like, hey, it's delayed like a whole nother year or whatever it is. And it's like, why even commit to these dates anymore? Because all you're going to do is let people down. Why not just let people know like, hey, this is coming eventually, you know?
I mean, even like looking at a lot of the games that do have dates for next year, a lot of them are smaller games or games that have been pushed back into this year. Like Avowed has a date, right? February something.
Yep.
Like that, I mean, that's been pushed back. It's to a point where enough people have played it. It's to a fact where I think it's like ready to go. They've just kind of pushed it back to alleviate the calendar, and they picked that date and it's perfect. God, yeah. February is also going to be a good month, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, just like we have January, February, and March down basically for like what are the big things that are coming out, which makes sense too, because it's like, well, hey, GTA is not coming out January, February, March, you know? So like we're in the clear here. Let's see. We've got PC ports of Final Fantasy Rebirth and Spider-Man 2 in January. In February, we've got Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. We've got Civ 7. We've got Assassin's Creed Shadows, Legends of Heroes, Trails Through Daybreak 2, Avowed, Monster Hunter Wilds. And then in March, we've got Fragpunk, Split Fiction, which I'm excited about, Wonderstop. And I think those are the ones that I am really looking forward to in the first little bit of the year. What do you think?
Yeah, so I mean, the one I think, like, right there, February, we got a couple games that are coming out that I think are going to be a big deal. Let's just circle Civilization 7. Not my game, but that is Civilization. That is, like, yeah, those are
huge. People huge. Love it.
Assassin's Creed Shadows. Again, probably don't know how interested I am in playing another Assassin's Creed game, but it might be in that kind of window where, hey, maybe I'll play it. However, I don't think so, because Avowed is also coming out February 18th, and I would think I would rather play Avowed over Assassin's Creed Shadows as of now. Love Obsidian. Love those kind of games. It looks like it's going to be a good one. What?
I got to cancel my Game Pass subscription. Fuck, that means I'm not going to finish Indiana Jones. Fuck!
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just realized I have to do that right now.
How much is this?
I think.
How much is...
It's like $20 a month. I don't have that right now. Right.
I'm going to Venmo.
No, you please don't do that.
Okay, I'm searching for pay request.
Don't do this.
West Peter.
Request.
No,
it's a request, it's money for
pay
me?
Request. I'm going to
pay or request. Don't
$20
do this.
Pay. I don't know.
Justin, don't actually do that. Are you actually doing this?
$20. I'm really good at using this stuff. Game Pass. Play indie. No, I can't type. Play games. I'm paying and sure. Hopefully this is you. Looks like you in the picture. All right. Can't go
Did
back.
Did you really
now.
Just do this?
Can't go back.
Dude,
now.
You don't have like dog.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, thanks, man. This is actually extremely nice of you.
You're welcome. I want you to play that game. And I want you to be able to play whatever's coming out in January, which I don't think anything is according to this.
I'll pick it up at some point. Maybe when Avowed comes out, everyone's like, you gotta play Avowed. I'll be like, all right. Yeah. Hey, dude, thank you. That's very, very kind of you.
You're welcome. But again, I think my priorities will be Avowed, partially because of Game Pass, but partially because I'm more interested in that game.
Yes, I would agree with you. Because what was the other one that was right? Oh, Assassin's Creed. Yeah. Because I bet it's going to just, all the reviews are going to be like, it's more Assassin's Creed. And if you like Assassin's Creed, then you'll like this. But like, I don't know.
And
you know
if
what
it's
mean?
Not, then it'll be a pleasant surprise for me to want to pick it up.
Yeah, exactly. And because it's coming in February, it means that I'll pick it up on Black Friday for $20. Dude, Star Wars Outlaws was like that.
I still don't pick it up, though. I'm going to wait because I don't, there's still things I want to play this year yet that I want to beat. And by the time I actually have time to play it, because I'm going to probably start Metaphor, not start, continue
oh, cool.
it. I'm going to probably start that next week. And yeah. I want to make sure that I play, that's going to take me forever. Like, you know, my life in January, February.
Did I get it?
Metaphor for an hour a night, maybe, if that.
Yeah.
I don't need Star Wars Outlaws. But also February, Monster Hunter Wilds, which, to be honest, picking up with that game right when it comes out might be the play if I'm going to be into that.
Yeah. I probably am going to skip it. I'm not like a Monster Hunter guy. I've never really gotten into them, which means that like I could certainly get into this one, but
have you played World?
No, that was on PS Plus, wasn't it?
I think so. But it was out for a while, but like,
yeah.
Not that I'm saying that like that game is like the best thing ever, but that was a really user friendly type of Monster Hunter that I think the series has learned from that point to make it more mainstream. And I do
sure.
would say that this game is going to be like a moment for Monster Hunter in a way that we haven't seen since Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, I bet you're right. Who knows? Maybe I might give it a shot. To me, it always looks like Dragon's Dogma, but I mean, I think that's just like...
Yeah, I see.
They're both Capcom. That makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely see why you would say that. And like some of the earlier ones, like Monster Hunter 3 or 4, I think was the first one I played. It was very like not what I wanted in a game. But as they've kept going on, I think they become way better and way more fun, personally.
Yeah, I would agree.
Streamlined.
I would agree. Well, I mean, I don't know, but that's how it seems from my perspective. Let's see here. What doesn't have dates?
A lot
of things, but yeah, go ahead.
One that I'm looking forward to that I don't know. I think this falls under Grand Theft Auto. I don't know if Grand Theft Auto is coming out next year. In fact, I would say it's probably 40-60 not coming out next year, in my opinion.
I would agree. 100% agree.
Death Stranding 2 is that other one that I am probably a little bit more confident it's coming out next year. But we're talking instead of 40-60, 60-40 maybe. But I'm really excited for Death Stranding 2. I'm ready to get lost in that kind of gameplay again, in that world again. And I need some fucking weird Kojima in my life. It's been way too long. I need some more of that stuff.
Yeah, no, 100%. I also don't think it's going to come out. Or, like, not that I don't think it's going to come out, but, like, if they say, hey, this is 2026, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, totally.
Like, not surprised at all. For me, one of the games I'm really into, I mean, when the trailer for this dropped, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm all about this. Doom the Dark Ages.
Yep.
I know you're not, like, a big Doom guy, but... It fucking looks cool. It looks sick.
The game itself, I think it's way too twitchy of a shooter for me at a certain point.
Sure.
And I felt like Doom Eternal really became a little bit more, not that the first one wasn't skill-based, but it felt like it was so much more precision-based, so much more fast movement,
yes.
So much more like dealing with all that stuff, that this one looks even worse. And I don't know if it's going to be the one that brings me in.
And Doom Eternal also like really leaned into the whole like rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock thing. You know what I mean? Where it's just like a huge wheel of like this does this, does this, does this, this, you know what I mean? All in a circle. I'll say this. I think Doom the Dark Ages as a setting. I'm really excited for that as a setting because it feels like in Doom Eternal, they had played out sort of just the like space theme, you know what I mean? So changing that up, I think, is going to be pretty sweet. I mean, I'm just thinking about like in that trailer, there's the gun that like, what's the word? Like crushes skulls and then uses the skulls as the ammo. That's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really excited for that. I think that'll come out because they haven't. I mean, 2020 was the last Doom game, and I don't think they've done much since then. I don't know if there was DLC. I think there was a little bit of DLC for Doom Eternal, but Doom the Dark Ages. I'm really excited for.
What studio is in charge of that?
That is id Software.
It's id Software. Okay, so yeah, I mean,
so owned by Microsoft now.
Bethesda, right? Owns id or
correct?
No?
Okay, yeah, correct.
Yeah. Another game I'm looking forward to, I don't know like if this is a game I'm necessarily going to play, but it, you know, it could be one of those ones that go out there, is that Mouse PI for Hire. It's that cool, yes. Like Mickey Mouse, like style first person shooter. It reminds me of like a little bit more of a violent, Cuphead kind of art style in a way, which I think would be kind of
like Cuphead meets Doom, right?
Yeah.
Like,
which would be kind of interesting and fun. I think, that is one I'm definitely looking forward to.
Sorry. Go on.
Oh no, that's it.
And even if it's not like a great game, it still looks like it's entertaining enough with the way that it's like art style is, you know what I mean? Like, I think like if you choose a really, really solid art style, that can kind of compensate for a game that's like just fine. You know what I mean?
Plucky Squire, perfect example of that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
The game itself was fine, but the concept and the art style behind it carried me to the end.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for Elden Ring Night Rain. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Last week with the Game Awards. I mean, I'm just so excited like that they're trying something new from Soft. Whenever I think they're at their best when they're doing something completely new and different, and this seems to be totally that. And the fact that it's kind of a crossover thing. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this?
The crossover with all the different bosses and stuff.
The Nameless King from Dark Souls 3 is in it. I think in the trailer we got to look at the Firekeeper from Dark Souls 3. The Shinobi prosthetics are in it from Sekiro. I have to imagine there's going to be some sort of Bloodborne stuff in there as well, like either the mechanic, if you the what's it called, rally mechanic, if you like find like a cleaver weapon or something like that. I don't know. I'm excited to see all that, and also I just love Elden Ring.
Would you consider this to be the Smash Brothers of From Software?
The Dark Soul, wait, how do people say it, like the Dark Souls of Smash Brothers?
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah. Maybe those individual characters, again, I don't know too much about it. Like there's like 8 playable characters. What if each one like represents one of the games in some
way. One of their
way.
Games would be cool.
So, like, one of them feels a little bit like you're playing Sekiro. The other one feels Dark a little Souls bit 2. Like Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which could be a fun little, like, way to add to that game by, like, just using
I would love that.
Lore.
I think that's really cool. And then also, like, that's such a nice, like... FromSoft has deserved some fan service.
Mm-hmm.
Not deserved, has earned some fan service, you know what I mean? That they'd be able to like lean into and like people would love that. Eat it up, you know what I mean? And it'll make lore YouTubers lose their fucking minds. They're like, I don't know how this fits in. It's like, it doesn't.
It doesn't, just stop it. But like, I'll still watch all those videos because boy, that's, I got down that rabbit hole this year. I think
very interesting.
I my PlayStation wrap up showed the game I played the most was Elden Ring, not surprising, like 80 hours of it. But the amount of YouTube lore videos I watched was probably double that, if not triple that.
Yeah, 100%. I'm also looking forward to FBC Firebreak. That's the Control spinoff game.
Yes.
I'll say this. I'm not like enthused by the gameplay of it. Like when we saw like the footage of the game, like it looks okay. Like I've played Left 4 Dead. You know what I mean? Like I know how this is going to feel, I think, but I love that world. You know what I mean? And so I'm going to be interested to see like what they do with that, if anything. I'm hoping they do, and that it ties me over until Control 2 or whatever comes next.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Pokemon Legends ZA or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, like, do you think that's coming out in 2026? And the answer is absolutely yes. 2025, rather.
Yeah, it's definitely coming out in 2025. I mean, they released fucking Legends Arceus when it shouldn't have come out that year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that's what I meant. Like, no, they do not care if it's ready or not.
No, and like they have other like timelines that they go with too. But the thing that will be interesting to see if this is one of those like bridge games to the new Switch 2, to see if it's going to be released more focused on Switch. Not more focused, because there's obviously the backwards compatibility of it, but if it's like optimized or like better played on that, or if it's just the first game I play for Switch 2. Because that's the cool thing about this. All of these things we look ahead for, we know so little about Nintendo because we don't know what their plan is. Like, they're going to be releasing something big with the Switch 2 if it comes out next year.
And I have to imagine... they have big things that we don't know about.
Correct. And I mean, this year was littered with things we didn't know about or think were going to be released. And one of them was a Zelda game, which I would say is a mainline Zelda game, more or less. Like, it's not like a, you know, 3D one, but it's still like a major Zelda title. And like, I would be assuming it would be a 3D platformer, a Mario platformer would be my assumption, but I don't know.
I have to imagine, right?
Could be anything. Another Tears of the Kingdom spinoff. It's like Roblox.
Here's the thing. If they did a spinoff of Tears of the Kingdom, I still think there's like stuff there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be used in terms of their like building mechanic or something like that. I think that
Roblox, come telling you, it's gonna be a thing. I mean,
is that how Roblox is?
Well, no, but like they just use it to like as like the background, and you like make whatever you want. It's like an open world, like creative game with the Tears of the Kingdom kind of design style. Heck, even fucking Marvel Rivals has like kind of like interactive parts that you can destroy, like walls you can burst through.
Yeah,
like that was shocking. I'm like, wait till they actually start having build mechanics in here.
Yeah, I like the way that Marvel Rivals uses destruction. It's also kind of cool because you can like make shortcuts that like significantly improve your team's ability to like get to the objective. That's cool.
Yep.
That's cool. That's not an Overwatch. Anyway, Ghost of Yote is on this list and I doubt it's coming out in 2025.
I would say it might. I mean,
you think so?
I think Sony is going to still release some major games. And I don't think right now the Sony lineup looks that intense right now. So I would assume that would be kind of their focus for the year.
Yeah, I guess
and,
so.
And
right.
Like Sucker Punch, it's not like they don't deliver on time. I mean, I would assume they will come out next year.
Yeah, I guess because they haven't done it 2020. Yeah, so 4 years of dev on this. Makes sense. You think you're going to pick up Indiana Jones when it comes out in PS5?
Why? I mean,
don't take this the wrong way.
I'm an idiot.
Sometimes you confound me.
Yeah. I would say if
you're not an idiot, by the way, I'm not agreeing with that sentiment.
Oh, no, I know. But like, you know me, like I told you before, I'd play Starfield if it was on,
That's kind of why, cause I'm like, why would you do it? Yeah.
The thing I think that is like, this game would not be a fun platinum.
You think so?
No. I mean, there's too many little collectibles in it. Like, I didn't look too much into the trophies, but, like, it doesn't feel like it's a game that's fun to backtrack in. It seems like it's, like, a little counterintuitive to, like, get to the certain locations that you have to look for. I just don't imagine this being a fun one, and I don't love the game enough to want to platinum it. There's something about, like, a game like an Assassin's Creed, even though they're kind of overwhelming, there's something just simple and, like, brainless to platinum a game like that. But for, like, Indiana Jones, I think I would have to have a guide open to do a lot of it, and I don't think that is what I want to do for a platinum.
Yeah. It does not seem like the sort of thing that would be doable without a guide, or at the very least would take hours and hours.
And I already feel like I'm taking longer to play the game than I would, because I am kind of, like, trying to go around every corner, and I'm going around every corner missing a bunch of shit. And I'm aware of that, and I have to accept that as a human being, that I'm not going to get the perfect gamer score in that fucking game. And I would definitely not play it on PlayStation, or buy it on PlayStation in order to do that.
This list also has Judas on here. This is the game from Ken Levine that we saw a trailer for at, like, 2 Game Awards ago. I put on my fantasy team because it said it could come out anywhere between, this was a few years ago, from 2022 to 2026. So it's kind of a wide margin. I don't know if we see this, but also, I don't know.
Didn't our good friend Jeff Keighley play this game?
I mean, he said he did, but
yeah,
I mean, games are playable a long time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm just kind of looking at some of the footage of this game. It doesn't necessarily look... It looks like it could be, like, an early draft of it. I mean, remember how much Bioshock Infinite changed from its initial, like, concept to what it eventually turned into?
100%.
But I also think when you have a game with an auteur like Ken Levine, I don't think he's going to rush through it just to get it out there. He's going to create the game that he wants to create.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, also, I mean, last we heard about him, there was, like, a report from, like, Bloomberg about, like, this man's a nightmare. It's like, yeah. And typically nightmare creators take a long time to make games. So, like, I would not be surprised if we didn't see this.
Do you think he created Andrew Ryan based off of himself?
It's possible, right?
Yeah. He goes around to people at the time. What studio was he at?
Looking Glass? No.
Whatever it was, he goes up to them and says, like, would you kindly go get me some Starbucks? And they can't stop. They have to do it. They have to give him Starbucks no matter what they're doing.
You must.
Yeah, you must.
Yeah. Let's see here. That might be it for what I personally am, like, super into. Did you see anything else?
Naughty Geese, of course. I'm looking forward to being a naughty
little geese. Of course, obviously.
I don't know what that game is, but, you know, sounds like fun. Weren't the people who are doing Untitled Goose Game, aren't they coming out with another game?
Oh, it's really weird. What is it called? It's like House is the name of the studio.
It's called Big Walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is set for 2025.
So there you go. I'd be interested in that. And I definitely know at the very least, my wife would, because she had so much fun just creating a bunch of mischief with a little goose.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So there you go. I think that is all that I have to say about the games that are coming out this upcoming year. Do you think it's going to be, like, okay, would you say that this past year was, like, a great year for video games?
Yes.
I would say it was a solid year. I do not think that it holds a candle to last year. I think, but we probably both agree on that. Would you agree?
The highs were higher last year, but I think the overall quality was surprisingly good this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is a better year for, like, your, like, 70s to 80s than last year, but last year definitely had your better, like, top tier games.
I think the gulf was bigger, right? Between the best games of the year and, like, the games were just fine. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Do you think 2025, where do you think 2025 is going to fit in?
It really depends on Grand Theft Auto.
It really does, yes.
I do not, and Nintendo, because let's just say Grand Theft Auto and a new Mario 3D platformer come out, like, those are going to be good games. Like, not just good games. Those are going to be, like, automatically set the tone for, these are AAA to quadruple A type level games that are memorable for years to come. I mean, we'll be talking about, if those two games come out, we'll be talking about 2025 for a long time. The game of the year discussion will be one that we'll be talking about for a long time between Grand Theft Auto and Mario, assuming those two games actually come out. But just as we're talking about, like, there's so few, like, sure things that are announced. Like, what are some, like, big, aren't there more Microsoft games that are coming out next year that we know about other than Avowed? I mean, Avowed could be a big game for all we know.
Look. Oh, Outer Worlds 2, was that for next year?
No, I don't think so.
Dynasty Warriors Origins. This is just like Xbox Series X games, this list. Yeah. What was the game? Oh, Metroid is going to be next year too, I think.
Allegedly.
Which looks big. Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, this whole thing is just this is just Xbox Series X games, so it's not exclusively Microsoft stuff. Outer Worlds 2 is potentially 2025.
Which could be cool. But then could be cool. What if Splitgate's another game similar to It Takes Two? I mean, people would have told you It Takes Two was going to be a game of the year. It was. And I don't think it was, like, undeserved.
Oh, Split Fiction?
What'd I say? Yeah, Split Fiction.
Splitgate.
Yeah, Split Fiction 2 could be one of those
games. I'm really excited for that game.
Right.
I loved It Takes Two, and this looks like just more of that.
I don't know. Maybe they fixed Borderlands. Maybe Borderlands 4 is that game. Doom could be a game, though, that people
Doom
talk about
as
being,
one.
Like, a top game. I mean, fuck. Is Fable coming out next year?
This is the Fable entry. I was going to say the wait for news was more than worth it after Fable started the Xbox Game Showcase 2023 off strong. Fable 4 sees the series' trademark British tongue-in-cheek humor is returning, and we can't wait already. We've had our first look at the fantastic world of Albion as it stands in the new game, and with Richard Ayoade, he's the Australian guy, right? New Zealand guy? Anyway, showing up as a hero grabbing big boss, it's safe to say Playground is set to impress us when it launches in 2025. Do we know that? Is that actually happening? Who wrote this? Oh, a lot of people. A whole bunch of people from Games Radar Plus.
So that's big, right?
Yeah, but I would be surprised if this comes out.
I mean, did you think Indiana Jones would come out this year? I didn't. I thought that would easily get pushed out of this year.
I guess that's true.
And here's the one that everyone keeps talking about, Peter. Maybe this is the fucking year. Hollow Knight
4?
Silk Song.
Dude, I was very surprised that 2024 was not it.
Oh, and fucking Hades 2. Like, that's definitely coming out next year. That's another, like, one of those games.
Yeah. I'm really excited for that game.
And I know we can't technically get it points for it for Fantasy Critic that next year, but, like, it's still, like, a game that is going to be in consideration for Game of the Year.
Hades 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean,
agreed.
All those things I think is going to be a big year. It has the potential to be a great year, but I think we just talked about 6-7 games that are like potential for elite games coming out next year, plus whatever the fuck Nintendo's doing other than their launch Switch 2 game, plus whatever their Sony has up their sleeve. Last of Us Part 2 remake again.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Just... Naughty Dog's next fucking remaster.
I'm trying to think about like what they would remaster, put on PS5. I think their whole thing is on PS5 now, right? Like,
do they have an Uncharted 4 remaster?
They do. It was Uncharted 4 and the one with Laura Bailey and
Uncharted 1
Chloe.
With the Last of Us engine.
Uncharted 1 remake. Gosh, can I say what a stupid fucking idea. To do an Uncharted remake.
Have you played Uncharted 1 recently?
Yeah, I played it in 2020.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it could,
I'm saying this. That is a series that I think is done. And should be done.
Have you played Indiana Jones and the Great Circle?
I don't understand the great love for Uncharted.
I agree.
It's fine.
I think it's like 2010's amazing.
Yes, but like that's what I'm saying. When it came out, I bet it was like mind blowing. Like, oh my gosh, we have like this is like a movie. You know what I mean? But like we have since moved on from the need for those characters. They're all boring. They're all uninteresting.
Oh.
I like Sully.
Last of Us Part 2 comes out next year.
Oh, gosh, the TV show.
Yeah, man.
If I ever were to lose...
I don't think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be bad, actually.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be amazing. I think people are going to hate it because they fucking hate the other game because it's too woke for its own good.
Do you... Okay, do you think... What do you like about The Last of Us 2 that you think is going to translate really well to a TV show?
Character, acting, scenes. Like, I think the individual cutscenes are going to be great. It'll be really interesting to see the choices that they make. And I think this is where specifically it'll knock you out of there if they choose to like continue the story for Ellie, because I think one of the things about the original,
they have to continue it.
What?
Right? Go on.
Well, like with her character, because I think she was a little more fucked up in the TV show than she is in Last of Us 1.
Right. Keep talking.
More outwardly traumatized, I think. So I think that transition might not be as harsh as it was in the game, I think, because I don't know. I think in the game, like her, well, no, I think it's actually done pretty well. They do a lot of good stuff in the game. But I think the character choices are different than what they're going to do in the game. And I think that's going to bother you more than it's going to bother me.
Yeah, because I guess that's what I like about those games. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
I like the way that those characters are, and I like the way the story is told using those characters. And I think if you change those characters, then the story changes, and then I like it less.
I think you have every right to like it less. I think there's definitely, I like Joel better in the game. That doesn't mean I don't like... Yeah. Pedro Pascal doing Joel in the show, it's just different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you can like one more or less than the other, but I think viewing them as two separate properties. Like, imagine if you hated the Lord of the Rings movie because they didn't have Tom Bombadil in them. There are people.
And I do. No, I know.
There are people who hate that kind of stuff because it wasn't like that. But if I'm taking the movies as being adaptations of the book, the adaptations that I prefer over the book, to be honest, that doesn't mean I think the books are bad.
No, but wouldn't you say that like there's a big difference in between interpreting a book into a movie and like, of course, like there are going to have to be some like major, like you're going to have to do a lot of adapting for that. And of course you would have to do a lot of adapting for a video game into a TV show, right? Like if you made, oh gosh, what? Okay, here's one, like Nier Automata into a TV show. They did that and they had to make some big, like they had to adapt that quite a lot because completely different mediums. But The Last of Us, the game, is trying to be an HBO TV show. Do you know what I mean? So like the adaptation of it is a lot small. It would be like, you know how they're going to do, they're redoing the Harry Potter, they're doing an HBO show for Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that is a similar thing where people are going to judge. Obviously, it's a book. They're basing off the books. But I think there's going to be a lot more like scrutiny and comparison between those movies and those TV shows because it's just like kind of jumping from one like medium to another. But the mediums are not different enough for it to feel like really like. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
I also think that's an unfair comparison because the ability to make the show into a series allows you to have more time than you would in a movie. So they'll have more time to spend with certain things. So like, I don't think you're wrong, but here's an example that I think about. If you have a production of Wicked, like a musical production of Wicked.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same play. It's going to be the same songs, but depending on where it is, it'll be a different version of that. And there might be the definitive version that was the first one that was released on Broadway with Idina Menzel and all this kind of stuff. That is like the one that people view it. But that doesn't make a different production of it necessarily like bad just because it's not that. It's a different version of it. And it could be bad because they don't do it as well. They don't have the right props as well and stuff like that. But you can still go and see Wicked in another version and like that version of Wicked for different reasons. Or have the conversation like, ooh, I really liked how they did Alphabet better in the original version versus this version. Mm-hmm. So you could talk more about the characters. And granted, I think they are going to be making, they've already made different choices with the characters from The Last of Us one series versus the game, and they're going to continue those same choices, if not make some other different choices in the second one. And I understand, like, you don't have to like it as much, and for you, you have such a good connection with the original source material that
right.
you are, that to you, your sticking point is the comparison between the two, and they're not doing it the same way. And I also think that, like, you get bothered when you hear Neil Druckmann, like, fuck up with your interpretation of the game, because he's like, this is what I believe. And it's like, well, you didn't really make that. That's not how the game is.
For sure.
But again, I'm saying, like, you, I think you have every right not to like the other version. Or not want to see the other version because you're afraid that, or you think they're going to not do a good job of it. And I can still, like, I'm going in excited about it because I'm interested to see that comparison, that I can make that comparison with something I liked as much as the original one. And if they even have one episode as good as the Bill and Ted thing.
Ted.
I think.
Not Bill and Ted.
whatever.
Yeah. I'll say this. Like I think that's what was so heartbreaking about the show to me, is because I thought that episode was such a good adaptation of a video game, right? Saying, like, okay, well, you know, we could just do it one-to-one, but why would we do that when we're working with a different medium, you know? And then the rest of the show in my opinion, felt like just very much like, well, we're just going to do exactly what's in the game with some, you know, some alterations, right? But that's what was so disappointing to me, was like that episode is so fucking good.
Yeah,
so good
it is. And again, I would take watching 7 average episodes of something in order to watch that one amazing episode.
Sure.
But also, I just, we said, talking about the Wanda Vision, the Agatha All Along thing.
Oh, yeah. I've heard everyone says it's really good. I have no interest.
There's only one episode in that series that I think is, like, spectacular. And was it worth watching the other 7 episodes for that? No, but it did make it feel like it wasn't a waste to watch those other 7 episodes, if that makes sense.
That's fair.
So,
dude, I'm so out of Marvel. Like out of, like, there are TV show stuff where everyone's like, oh, my gosh, it's actually pretty good. I'm like, I don't care anymore. I'm out. I'm so out. Like, you know. I think a lot of this is true, and maybe this is like I'm gonna, it's like a generalization, and there's more nuance to this than I think. Like, I think you could take this out of context is what I'm saying, but there's nuance to this. I think a lot of, like, hardcore MCU fans who are still, like, deep into it have, like, was it like the time cost fallacy? Where they have, like, that Stockholm syndrome thing of, like, well, I've liked this for so long that it has to continue being good. Otherwise, it will have been for nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I only still watch them too because sometimes it's like, what do I have to watch? I could either, and there's stuff that my wife and I don't wait to watch together. So, like, because she's still not caught up with it, so I don't feel guilty, like, watching that kind of stuff. So, like, that's why I still watch it. It's just something to watch. But I cannot tell you the last time I've had Marvel appointment-based viewing of something.
Oh, and you had that for Agatha All Along?
No. I watched it once it was all released, kind of like whatever. But, like, every week, I got to watch the next version of this.
Yeah.
And, like, I felt like I needed to, and I enjoyed it. I remember watching Moon Knight week to week, but that didn't mean I loved it.
that's the thing. Like, I think WandaVision was pretty good. And then the other Marvel shows, like, I watched week to week because I was, like, expecting them to be pretty good. And then, like, when they were over, I was like, wait, those weren't good? You know what I mean? Like, I was waiting for it to be good, and you weren't good.
Yeah. I would say Loki. I know you saw the first one, right?
I saw the first one. It was fine.
I think the second one.
Here's the problem. I don't really like Loki that much as a character.
I think the second one is really good.
Yeah.
I think what they do narratively with it's really cool. I think how they, like, even connect all that kind of stuff from the first season together is really good. I really like that it's kind of like an experimental thing. The whole, like, I like when not just with, like, actually the whole time travel thing. I like when they, like, still have the courage to try new things, even if it's not great. Like,
yeah,
Agatha All Along. Great. You have tried something new with that series. Good for you. I like the creativity. Doesn't mean I like it.
Yeah. I think that's what I always, like, I can appreciate. I can certainly appreciate that about Marvel, but anything, right? About just, like, you are doing something here. Mm-hmm.
You're making choices.
And and, like, you know, if you could, like, if you just kept doing Hawkeye, Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know what I mean? It's like, oh gosh, like, please no. But like, yes, you're right though, right? Like Loki, you tried something. Agatha Long, you tried something. And it landed with some people. A lot of people didn't, you know, obviously like I don't care for it, but like, yeah, like I can appreciate that you did go out of your way to like try something. And even if it's not like landing for me, like eventually if you keep trying weird stuff,
it's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Hitbox, right?
It's just like Hitbox. What a wonderful way to tie this up on a delightful Christmas afternoon, because I know that everyone's listening to this right away.
Immediately, they were waiting. They're like, wait, we got a whole dinner back. Hitbox right, comes out at noon.
Yeah. I think that's going to do it for us today. I believe this is the last. It is the last episode of the year. I'll say this. We will not have an episode on January 1st. We just can't figure out how to schedule it, and that's fine. Sometimes that's what happens over the holidays.
But we're going to be with each other.
We will be back. We will be with each other, which is why we can't figure out how to schedule. we will be back on the 8th with our game of the year conversation.
Game of the year.
Which I'm very excited about, Justin. I've thought long and hard about it.
Another Crab's Treasure. Game of the year for me.
You did like it, though, didn't you? I liked it.
It will be close to my top five. I don't know if it'll be in there, but it'll be close.
Yeah. And also we're giving you some time to like, because I was like, hey, do you want to do game of the year tomorrow? And you were like, I can't. This is my time to play games. And I was like, that's so true.
I gotta taste a lot more. Gotta taste a lot more.
This is a question, and if your answer is no, that's fine. You think you're gonna give mouthwashing a shot?
Yeah, I bought it, so that's on my list. That's one of the things you said. It's like a 2-hour game, so that's definitely one of the things I wanna get through.
I bet you're gonna have so much to say about the game. Whether you like it or not, you'll have a lot to say.
I love saying things about things that I like to say things about.
And that's why we're here.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Yeah, really, if you think about it. Cool. Yeah, so that's going to do it for us. I want to thank our deluxe Patreon producers, Jane Old, GKS, and Josh Durham, as always, for being, you know, subscribing to us on Patreon, which you can do at patreon.com/hitboxpod. You can also join our Discord server. The link to that is in the description of this episode. You can also follow us on Twitter at hitboxpod or rate this episode in your podcast player of choice. Happy holidays. If you don't celebrate Christmas, happy holidays. Merry Christmas if you do. Happy New Year. Thanks for another fun one of talking about games. And Justin, I'll say this. I would not want to be doing this with anyone else.
Oh, I thought you said I would not want to do this with you if I didn't feel obligated to.
I would rather not do this with anyone else, but that's...
Yeah,
I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, no, I get it. I would rather do not do... You, I would like doing it with you.
Likewise. we'll catch you in 2025. Always remember, old games are old. Bye.
Bye.
I'll stop recording.